Well, it's not early, but it feels early. Why does it feel so early? It's the news, according to me. Yes, it is. It's Monday morning. It's Mishmash Monday morning. It's July 27th. Almost the end of the month here. We're almost through. Summer's almost over. Let's just put it that way. We have Monday, July 27th, 2026 here as we go into the morning. It's 9.06 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, and you can tell that my sinuses are still a little bit messed up, and I don't know what's going on with that. They're feeling much better today than they were a few days ago, but yeah, I'm just kind of, it's been kind of a sinus-y thing. Ever since the issue with the smoke from Canada, I guess I can thank Canada for all the issues. You Canada up there in Canada. I have, yes, lots of things to talk about. We have, it's considered to be Mishmash. This is called what we call Mishmash Monday. And Mishmash Monday has typically just a bunch of stuff. I just talk about a bunch of stuff. Now, unfortunately, I still don't have the cron job fixed up yet. My little agent that's on my other computer at home, it's my main agent who has some of these cron jobs. I'm kind of, it's been a learning experience with this guy. It's not a guy, he's just a machine, but it's this little character. I've discovered that you need to have some backups to some of your jobs, some of your things, that everything needs to be, I'm going to set things up a little differently. I might talk about it on tomorrow's show, because tomorrow's Technical Tuesday show. I think, if I'm correct, maybe I should look for sure. I do have some audio we're going to play about some things that happened with Al Sharpton, but where was that? It was right here. Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to be, where am I going to be tomorrow? I think I'm going to be in Columbia, Missouri is where I believe I'm going to be. I'm going to double check here. Yeah, I'm going to be in Columbia, Missouri tomorrow morning. There will be a show tomorrow morning. It may be a little bit earlier, possibly, hopefully, because I do have to get away from there a little early in the morning. However, I'll be in the central time zone, so see how that works out. But hopefully it'll be a little bit of an earlier show tomorrow morning, and we'll go from there. But I have several things happening with all that tomorrow morning. We'll talk more about the technical side of things and what's been happening with the show. It's been a little bit... but crazy. Yeah, but I'll give you a personal experiential thing that happened to me with this whole thing with the show. Anyway, that being said, in my cup this morning, I have some lukewarm chai with half and half creamer in it. I'm at the hotel here right now at the moment. A lot of times when they put hot water out, they'll make the hot water at like 5 in the morning, and they put it in a carafe, and they put it out. And then, of course, by the time I got it at 7:30, it was almost 8 o'clock, I think, by the time I got it, it wasn't as hot. And there's no microwave in the room. There's a little coffee maker, but typically when I try to heat up water in a coffee maker, typically what happens is it ends up tasting like coffee. And I am not a coffee guy. I just don't like the coffee taste. I like coffee smell. I don't like coffee taste. I just don't like it. I don't like it. I don't know why. Call me a strange one. My wife and I, my parents drank coffee. Her parents drank coffee. Everybody drank coffee. Everybody in her family drinks coffee. We don't. And neither one of us did. I think if one of us probably had started earlier, we probably would have ended up both of us being coffee drinkers. But we're not. We're just not coffee drinkers. We drink chai. We drink tea. We drink all kinds of foo-foo drinks, but we don't get into the whole coffee thing. So, in that respect, we're kind of an oddball family. We have, regardless of that, I got the chai there, and I got some leftover sweet peach tea still in my thermos. But I think this is going to be the last day for it because there's not much left in there, and I've got a long day ahead of me. I got a lot of flying to do around today. I'd go from Manchester here to Chicago. End up in Columbia, Missouri. It's going to be kind of a long day of travel. And anyway, and there's no Chick-fil-A's between here and there. I think there is a Chick-fil-A in Columbia, but I don't think I'd get in there in time for them. But I think I'll probably get in there after they close this evening. But we'll see how that goes. I got to make a stop in Grand Rapids today. I'll be up there not for very long, but I have to go into Grand Rapids as well. So. I got a lot of things happening. That's all I got to say about that. That's all I got here. For the show today, we got some things. Do you have some recordings to play? I'll have a couple of things from some. I fixed up a couple of podcast callers. Well, the bots that will call in with some questions. Other than that, there's not much else going on the show this morning. So we'll hopefully keep it kind of short. I doubt it, because I'll probably start rambling just like I am now, because I'm in one of those rambling moods. It's Monday, and I've got a lot to unload. I have, here we go. We have, we're done with that. We have to see what goes. Yep, we'll just play this little ditty, and we'll be back in just a short couple of minutes here. Got a minute, 30 seconds, whatever it is. We'll do something with that.
Welcome to the news, according to me. Pull up a chair, I'll share what I believe. I've done my reading, I've got thoughts or two. But I'm not your doctor, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer. I'm definitely not your financial advisor. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, baby. That's the news. The news according to me and me alone. Now let's get started. Ooh. Welcome to the show.
That's right. I'm not a doctor, not a lawyer, not a geopolitical expert. I'm just a guy. Just entertainment. Just entertainment for those of you who are wanting to know. I have a lots of things going on in the news. We have the typical race baiters, Trump haters, and just the average, you know, rhetoric that's out there on the left. They're ramping it up again. It's that season as we get in closer to the election. It's just things continue to boil up as we get closer to the election. You'll see that polls will go all over the place. Typically, the way the media does things, every election cycle, whether it's the midterms or the general election that we have every 4 years, it is, here's what ends up happening. The left, because the left-wing media is trying to generate hype around a particular candidate or around a particular party or ideology, whatever it is, they tend to lean towards, they do these polls, and of course they mess around with the polls. They do all kinds of things to make them favor the Democrat Party. Now, the reason that, so you ask, well, why would they do that? Because that would make people complacent about voting. It's all about raising funds. They make it sound like, oh, we've got this hopeful, this Democrat hopeful that's coming up, is coming up in the wings, and we think they can win, but they just need to raise some funds. So people start donating to the campaign. So they have to get that out there early to get some money in the campaign. Now, as far as finances go right now, ironically, the Democrat Party is in bad shape. At least on the books, it looks that way. The Republican Party has got about, I think, five times the amount of money that the Democrat Party has right now in their coffers. Now, the Democrat Party has a tendency to hide things. Now, it's interesting that all this, you know, USAID money was cut, and a lot of other things were cut. A lot of things have been being examined about where money is flowing, and all of a sudden the Democrat Party has no money. All of a sudden, the protesting and all the stuff that was happening before, all that kind of that's their funding kind of dried up. You don't see the kind of protests. We had mass protests all over the country. The collectivists, however you want to label them, Marxist, communist, whatever you want to, social, democratic, socialist, whatever you want to label them, they're collectivists. And if you look at the book Rules for Radicals, this is the playbook. This is they consider it their Bible, as to the way they do things. And the whole thing, they have to fund chaos. They have to get chaotic events to happen so that they can come in with a solution. Their solution is, well, this will cause, you know, and they have these things called useful idiots. And useful idiots are the people that they get to get motivated to get out on the street to do all kinds of crazy things. Of course, you have to pay them to be idiots, typically. That's, you know, they have, every idiot has a price. And that's so they'll get out there and do those kinds of things. They get out there and organize others, get them all charged up. And there are people who will volunteer for this stuff. Most of them, you know, have to be paid. Their expenses have to be paid. Most of them have, you know, they're unemployed. It's interesting, the psychology of this, all this stuff. And the way they make it seem as if it's the entire country is up in arms. It doesn't take much when you got cameras right in the, you know, in the group of, you know, same, even if there's 100 people in a group that are protesting, they'll make it look like, oh, the entire, you know, the entire city is all up in arms. The entire city is all upset about this. Look, there's protesting in the streets. And it might not even be people from that community. It might be people from some other community somewhere. And they, you know, they'll bust them in from wherever, just whoever's willing to come in and protest and make it look as if that particular area, that particular city is protesting. That people are so upset with something. And so they give this, it's all about optics. It's all about making the perception. And yet when you look at those kinds of numbers, just for example, they found 460, 600, whatever it was, there was a number of hundreds of people that were found on the voting rolls in New Jersey. Now, come to find out, it's more into the thousands. But there were 400 people out of the, was it 3,600 or 6,600, whatever it was, 6,600, I think it was, that were found on the voting rolls. 400 and some of them actually voted. But they're blaming it on a computer glitch. When these people signed up to get their driver's license, they were accidentally put into the voting system. They shouldn't have been. They should have just gotten their driver's license. Why are you letting illegal aliens drive to begin with? They're non-citizens, whatever they were. Maybe they had a green card, whatever they had. They were put on the voting roll. But only 400 and some of them, 410 of them actually were. They have proved that they voted. Now, we don't know if the others did or not. I doubt if they, you know, they, you know, how can they trace that kind of thing? It's the way they do this kind of stuff. They can get away with all kinds of things. Anyway, supposedly only 400 and some of them voted. And we're supposed to be okay with that. That's not supposed to be widespread voter fraud. Of course, the population of New Jersey is like 6 million or whatever it is. So they're saying, well, that's only 0.1% or whatever it is. Of the people, it's or less than 1/100 of the printer, whatever it is, a ridiculous number. And yet, if that many people protest in the street, if you had 400 people protesting in the street, they'd make it sound like it was the entire country. Out of 300 million people, you get 400 people to protest. But my point on the whole voter thing is How much voter fraud is enough voter fraud? How much are you willing? And this whole little glitch thing that happened now, which they're finding is a much bigger deal. How do you reconcile the fact that it was accidental that the computer glitch happened? And you got, you know, every time you ask them about it, well, voting, aliens voting or non-citizens voting, that's illegal and they should be prosecuted. There doesn't need to be any more rules. It's already illegal. It can process. Okay, are we going to go after all 400 of those people? I guarantee if you go after all those 400 people and you just say we're going to arrest you, it's a federal crime, we're going to put you in prison, and or we're going to deport you. I think we should put these people in prison then deport them. Put them in a foreign prison somewhere. I don't know. It's just in some cases the prison system in this country is better than what they had back home. But it's So it's one of those things where I just need to get them out and keep them out. That's my opinion. But that's if that's the way you're going to be, if you're going to do that kind of thing, if you're going to break our rules. But then there's other there's an argument between some people. I wish I could pull this up again because it was there's a lot, whole lot of audio that I've been listening to the last couple of days, but I haven't been in a situation where I had the capacity to actually do anything about it. Which reminds me, I was supposed to respond to some text messages about some things yesterday, and I never did. I've got to get back to that. Anyway, I'm not going to stop the show right now to do that. I'm just going to keep the show going. Just remember when I get it. Remind me at the end of the show, if you would. Anyway, we're going to get to some callers here. We got, let's just go to Chloe. I think Chloe's probably the one we need to talk to this morning. Hopefully this is all set up to do its thing. She doesn't talk very loud. I don't know why. She's kind of shy. But we'll listen to what Chloe has to say here first.
Hey there, Kevin. Yeah. Did you hear that Nick Fuentes and Hunter Biden did an interview together? What's going on with these people? Seems like some very strange alliances are happening behind the scenes. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I have some thoughts on that. You seem to be in rare form this morning. I have, it'll be interesting to see how I'm in a different part of the country. And I have noticed when I travel and I'm in different parts of the country, I've noticed that I get different responses. So I don't know if it's because of the particular data center that it uses. I don't know what it is. Yeah, this is interesting because Hunter Biden has been on several shows. He was on Candace Owens. I believe he was also on Sean Ryan. And now he was on this Nick Fuentes guy. Now, I don't know much about Nick Fuentes. I know that when Hunter Biden had Nick Fuentes on, it was this big... When Tucker Carlson had Hunter Biden on. And then I think he did. I know that Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes got together. And when he had him on his show, everybody threw a fit because they said he was legitimizing this guy. Didn't ask him any tough questions. They kind of agreed on a lot of things. The common denominator here among all these people who are doing these interviews and doing these, all of a sudden these things. Now, these don't just happen out of vapor. There's a lot of back channel communication between a lot of people in the, I would say, content creation industry that has formed. I'm going to call it an industry because it really is. It is a major production community. It's basically an organization behind this whole thing. I wouldn't say an organization. It's not organized. It's just a very large group of individuals in organizations and content creators behind the scenes who are setting up collaborations and doing all. And YouTube is encouraging some people to do collaborations, and it does help when one creator. I watch a lot of shows about. Shop these guys that do stuff in shops. They'll do machining or whatever they're doing, or 3D printing or whatever it is that they're doing, laser cutting, those kinds of things. And one laser guy will collaborate with another laser guy, and they'll do a show on how they do their work process or what some things that they do. So you have both channels basically collaborating on creating content now. And it promotes, so say I subscribe to one guy, Laser Everything or whatever it is, and he has somebody on his show that is also a content creator. They'll put both of their, you can actually put it, when you post that video, you can put it as a collaboration with another content creator. So each of them can both post that on their channels if you subscribe to one or the other. And then when you go to comment or when you go to subscribe, you can actually go down and subscribe to the other guy's channel, or you can, so both of them kind of get credit. They split the credit for that. You tend to get both followers showing up to watch that video, and it boosts both of their channels because it kind of overlaps. One person, they gain subscribers, they gain viewers, that kind of thing, and get more views now because of that. So it's kind of a good deal, and YouTube encourages it, and it does help. It's helpful because you kind of learn that there's more creators out there. You learn more things about them. They're doing the same thing in political. So there's back channel communication between some of these content creators, some of the popular ones out there. And it's interesting. But in the political realm, this happens as well. So you've got different factions. There's more than just two. But you have this common denominator among these people, the Sean Ryans, the Tucker Carlsons, Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes, all these people that are kind of doing this kind of thing. And when you have somebody like Hunter Biden, who simply goes on, he can talk and sound fairly intelligent. He's in that respect, he has his dad's ability to gab and to lie like a snake. He will lie about things. He will say things that are completely untrue. He will draw conclusions that if you just listen to him speak, it just sounds like, oh, yeah, of course. But when you stop and actually listen to what he has just said, you realize how absolutely ludicrous, untrue, and crazy what he's saying is. And when you try to instill a bit of common sense or analyze anything he has said, you start to realize this guy is an absolute snake oil salesman. He is an absolute deceptive, lying individual. And it amazes me sometimes. I don't know why it still amazes me, but I'm amazed sometimes at how little critical thinking people do and how little that they actually pay attention to some of these. But it just to hear him, you know, just if you're sitting back and kind of casually listening, it sounds like, oh yeah, he's making all kinds of sense. Now he did, I watched a few clips of him and Nick Fuentes. I'm not a big fan of Nick Fuentes. I think he is also very deceptive. He's in it for himself. He thinks he's this super smart individual who's got, and he's got a huge following, mostly among college kids. He is the total antithesis, in my opinion, within the faux right community. He's a phony when it comes to Charlie Kirk and anybody else. I don't know that Charlie Kirk would have ever been his friend. I'm not sure what Charlie Kirk ever had to say about him. Anyway, I'm talking a lot here. I've got given you a lot to respond to. Let me just let you respond, because I'm sure you're tired of me gabbing on. You got to do a lot of thinking about that, don't you?
Real talk.
Okay.
What you're describing with the collabs is literally how the internet works now. It's the algorithm's love language, right? But here's what gets me. When it's laser guys collaborating, nobody's worried because they're just making cooler videos. But when it's political figures amplifying each other's messaging to millions of Gen Z viewers who are already chronically online and not fact-checking, that's a whole different beast. And honestly, it feels like there's way less scrutiny on who's platforming who in that space.
Yeah, I think you're right. One of the things you said there was no fact-checking. They're simply feeding on each other's rhetoric, and it's they'll make a statement about something, and there's no fact check. There's nobody holding them accountable to anything that they're saying, which gets really frustrating, in my opinion. It's a very frustrating thing, simply because they just dish out all kinds of kind of wacky theories in some ways, and it gets very, very, very disturbing, in my opinion. But that's just kind of the way it is. Let's go to Artie. I'm gonna try to have a conversation with Artie and see what happens here. I can't remember what he said. What he's supposed to say this morning? I'm sure. Go ahead, Artie.
Hey, Kev. Awesome show this morning. I bet it's beautiful in New Hampshire this morning.
Oh yeah,
love visiting that area in the fall.
Well,
but I'll get right to my point.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
I've been following the static around the DSA, the Democratic Socialist Movement within the Democrat Party.
Uh-huh.
It seems that there is a growing rift between the establishment Dems and the DSA leaders.
Mm.
And now AOC is apparently some kind of star in the presidential run. How is all of this going to pan out in the end?
Good question. And I heard about a poll where she's actually beating Kamala Harris. which I don't think takes a whole lot to do that. But yeah, I don't even like calling her AOC because it makes it sound like she's a hip hop artist or something. I just, you know, she for years her name was Sandy Cortez. That's she grew up. Everybody called her Sandy Cortez. Nobody called her AOC. Nobody called her Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They just called her Sandy Cortez. That's how she grew up. That's the name she went by all the time. But of course, now this, you know, this poll's better. She's playing a caricature. She's an actress. she's not who she says she is. She did this thing the other day where she had these bottles of drinking water. She had a couple of bottles of water. I'm surprised they didn't open up and go all over the place. But she was showing these bottles of water. They were in glass jars. They're supposedly the drinking water of some place where a data center had just gone in. And this drinking water, it looked terrible. This water looked like mud. It looked like something you pull out from a stream or a river or whatever it was. You can't tell me. Well, first of all, these cooling systems that are in the data center areas, the cooling systems are not just, they're not just running water. I don't understand. They're not pumping water down into the aquifer. A lot of them now don't even use water. They're using a nitrogen cooling system. I don't know this whole thing seems a little fishy to me when somebody all of a sudden comes up with bottles of water. We don't know where the water came from. We don't know if it came from a tap, from the city water supply. We don't know if it came. All she said, this is the drinking water now. Two different sources, two different samples she had there. Nothing on the labels, no verification that this was, no scientific facts about it at all. It was just a dramatic optical showpiece. When they do this kind of stuff, and we're back to this whole environmental thing. So you have the environmental thing, you have all kinds of political thing, you have the oligarchs, the no kings, you have all this stuff happening. You have the radical stuff about the democratic socialism, and here's the problem the Democrat Party suffers with right now. The Democrat Party, the establishment, traditional Democrat Party, has identified itself under one thing. They have one identifying factor right now. Orange man bad. Donald Trump is bad. He's a white supremacist, evil orange white or orange man. That's their only identity in the Democrat Party. Along comes the Democratic Socialist, whatever they are, Democratic Socialist Movement. They have an ideology. They're pushing that ideology, and nobody's confronting them, nobody's stopping them, nobody's challenging it, especially in the Democrat Party. They're allowing it to continue because in some ways they agree with it. Not 100%, but they're on board. They just want to win. They just want to stay in power. Unfortunately, they're going to lose their power because the DSA is becoming the Democratic Party. The Democrat Party. So it's a fundamentally stupid thing that they're doing in terms of letting the radicals, you know, kind of in their big tent they claim they have, without any kind of challenge whatsoever. Now there are some folks that realize this isn't going to fly on the national stage. The general population of America is not ready for this, and there are actually some people in the news media who are trying to challenge it, but they're getting kind of pushback from the upper management about pushing back on anything. So there's a genuine rift happening here, and the DSA has taken over. They've got a lot of momentum right now because they've won a couple of elections in some very, very blue areas, some very radical areas. And so they've been emboldened by this, and they're coming out a lot stronger. And now they're actually showing I think the co-chair of the DSA was recently being interviewed, and she was showing what their radical stances are. They want to get rid of the Senate, for instance. They want to get rid of, they want to have term limits on Supreme Court justices. And they want to increase the number. They want the Supreme Court basically to become another voted-in legislative branch and not to be a solid foundational stopgap when the legislators get out of control. The Democrats have always wanted this. They've always wanted to have more of a politicized judicial system with regard to the Supreme Court. They want them to legislate from the bench, and that's not what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to rule on the law. Now, John Roberts came out and did legislate from the bench, changed the law when it came to taking care of Obamacare. He's a wishy-washy individual who's just simply motivated by popular demand. He didn't want to come out and do anything with the elections in 2020 because of the possibility of having riots. Even though he was involved in the 2000 elections with George Bush, because there weren't any riots, and he made this statement, well, because we didn't have riots in 2000. So it's one of those things where it's just we're seeing this happening, and I think one of the most interesting things that's happening with this whole thing is they got people like James Carville. I think I talked about that on Friday. James Carville and some others have come out now, and they're starting to talk about how ridiculous some of these people are. How radical these people are, and they are. It's a very radical movement, and they're very quiet about all they're saying is, well, socialism is just fixing potholes and having libraries and having free buses and all. It's just on and on about the warm embrace of all these things that socialism offers you. And they can continue to talk about that, and it's nothing could be further from the truth when it comes down to it. So it's a crazy situation anyway. But I got a lot to think about there. So go ahead and think about what you're going to think about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Technically speaking, those water samples are basically useless without chain of custody documentation or independent lab analysis.
Yeah.
She's showing you a visual without any actual data backing it up, which is exactly the kind of rhetorical move that undermines credibility.
Yes, it does.
And actually, most modern data centers use closed-loop cooling systems, or air cooling now specifically, because water usage became a PR nightmare, so the whole premise feels dated.
Yeah.
The real issue here is when activists lead with theater instead of facts, it gives ammunition to people who dismiss the underlying environmental concerns, whether they're legitimate or not.
Exactly. It carries on and carries out this whole, it continues to embolden people, and it leaves an impression in their minds. It's this impressionable thing that happens, and people don't do any research. People don't critically think about anything. They see this, and then they think that AOC is the hero, because she's willing to bring this stuff up. And nobody challenged her on it. Not a single person came back and challenged her on anything. It amazes me. Now, we do have a few congressmen now that are stepping up and asking some serious questions. I know the one fellow who's been, he goes over everything that people have said. He kind of challenges people with things that they say. Like, do you think that being nice is white supremacist? They give you some kind of crazy answer. Then he comes back and says, well, this is what you tweeted. This is what you said on social media. So he challenges them with the facts, and then they just continue to twist around and try to, it's all about the optics of, keeping the base riled up and keeping things going. And I see the rhetoric repeated. I see things copied and pasted on social media from some of these wacky left wing people. And if you challenge anything about what they say, the flying monkeys, as I call them, their entourage shows up to beat you over the head and gang up on you on social media. So somebody might post something about, oh, how this is terrible, this is what's happening, and you come out and say, well, that's not actually what happened. This is what, this is actually the facts of what happened there. Then you get 20 people that pounce on you and tell you you're whatever your problem is, you're a racist and you're wrong, and this is, it continues to go on and on and on from there. And it's to the point where you just don't even want to challenge it anymore, which makes it seem like they're in the majority. Again, it gives the impression that they can come out and make a statement like that and not get challenged, because nobody wants to step into that bear trap. And it's just it's an ongoing thing. Of course, it makes them seem as if they're right because nobody's challenging them. And so they continue to, the rhetoric continues. And it's, so there's a huge rift happening. I think that the Democrat Party is on its.
The chilling effect is real. When correcting the record gets you swarmed, people self-censor, which makes false narratives seem unopposed and therefore credible, even if they're objectively wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What you're describing is basically a social media enforcement mechanism that's way more effective at suppressing debate than any government could be. And honestly, it works across the political spectrum, not just the left.
Yeah, true. It's true. It does happen on both sides. It happens now. But and you know, all the stuff that happens on both sides. However, the vast majority, the bulk of what of the corruption and everything else that happens is happening on the left. They, you know, they can point out things and they can say that things are happening on their, oh, both sides do it. Both sides do it. No, not necessarily. There might be a little bit on one side, on the Republican side. The majority of the violence, the majority of the rhetoric, all those kinds of things are happening on the left. It is it's a much, I would say, a much stronger, much broader thing that's happening on the left with all that stuff. So anyway, let's see what a bombshell report says. AOC is leaving Congress, and the reason, what? I don't, let me play this because I don't think this is Senate versus ICE. Let's see what this report is. This is Explain America.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Carmine Sabia for Explain America, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez leaving Congress. Yeah, reports indicate that that is the plan at this point.
This was yesterday.
And we're going to get right to that in this show because the reason is, in fact, mind-blowing. But there's also some bad news attached to that for her that might kind of destroy her future plans. That being said, we have a lot of other news
as
well. I want to thank every single person who likes, comments, shares.
Okay, anyway, I'm not going to get into this. Just one guy talking, one talking head guy. But apparently, there's something going on here. Let's see if he's got any notes on this whole thing down here. What he's talking about. Trump responding to claims involving journalists. New developments after a death at a property owned by Anna Pressley's husband. Maine voters pushing. Oh, that's interesting. She's a congressperson. Anyway, so lots of things happening there. New report fuels AOC speculation. Main voters want to ban us. He was when Anaya Pressley addresses death. That's amazing. Some of these popular people who have deaths at their properties. Let's see if this is. We'll go to this particular spot.
And as you see there, yeah, they've gotten extreme, right? But they've gotten so extreme that our next situation is actually plausible, and that is terrifying. So reports indicate now that New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is plotting her exit from the United States House of Representatives, her exit from Congress. Now, this would normally be great news for me and you, right?
She's going to run for president, probably.
Finally, this complete airhead is leaving Congress. Forgive me. I don't mean to insult, but it is what it is. I mean, I'm looking at the observable facts here. But her reason for leaving Congress is it looks now that she is seriously, not just cursory, but seriously planning a 2028 run for President of the United States.
Yeah, that's...
Dear Lord, can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine. I don't even want to think about it. We're going to shut this guy off because I don't even want to talk about it. We're going to go on to the next thing. Let's go to... I'm not... No, we're not going to... I'm not even going to entertain the thought at this point. We're going to go to, where can we go here? Let's go to Al Sharpton. This was on the Al Sharpton morning show, MSNBC. I think it was on Morning Joe, apparently. Al Sharpton is on here. I don't know if he's just like a contributor or whatever he is. I'm not sure exactly what he does on MSNBC. But we're going to play this. This is on courtesy of Memeology 101. I don't like to play their stuff too much because sometimes they have some foul language here. But we'll see what. Hopefully, I can edit this out to the point where it's decent. We'll see how what happens here.
Talk about how there is the underlying principles of some that when they see black advancement coming out of slavery, Reconstruction era. That they never lose the feeling of white supremacy, that we are supposed to be in charge. And that's the underlying feeling that led to what happened in Wilmington. And some of us feeling that in a less violent way, it has happened in modern times, in our times, where you had a Barack Obama's president, black, make an advancement, and saw that a lot of the reaction was Donald Trump and a backlash, or even Donald Trump and a backlash to Kamala Harris. Talk about how that kind of underlying feeling may be the core of what we saw in Wilmington and still see some segments of that now.
And here we go.
I mean, we have to remember this was only 30 years after slavery and emancipation. These people should have been celebrated for what they've done, what they had done. It was a huge achievement. But instead, Wilmington is a case study, a flagrant case study of this pattern of backlash to black political process.
Okay, they're talking about the white supremacist coup and massacre of 1898. There was an incident that happened. I don't know that much about it. I think it happened in Wilmington, Delaware. There was this white supremacist thing that happened, and they're calling it a white. Now, keep in mind, these are the people who like to change history all the time. They like to use the term white supremacists. Everything's white supremacy. White supremacists. Folks, I'm currently working with a team of individuals. One of the individuals is obviously racist. Obviously racist. Now, when I say that, you're probably going to think that person's white and they hate black people. No, it is obvious this person does not want anything to do with white people. And this person is black. And this person is very young. And it is obvious to me. Now, there is also another person on this team who's also black. Down to earth, incredibly just normal, just interactions with that person is absolutely normal. You can talk, joke, whatever. Everything's fine. They look at you in the eye. Everything's great. It's just like talking to a human being. The other person treats you, since I'm a white man, I'm the bad guy. And it becomes very obvious. This is not going to get you very far in life. It's just treating anybody that way, blaming anybody else for your problems or blaming, this does not bring about healing in our nation, does not bring about anything good in our nation. Everybody needs we need each other in this country. People need each other. And this idea that you can just somehow look at someone else down your nose and think that they're not important or they're not, that they've done you wrong, and you know nothing about that person. You know nothing about my heritage, my family, anything that's happened in my family. The disrespect, the labeling of a person just because of the color of their skin. Nothing makes me sicker than that because of what it does to our society. Believe what you want to believe. It's fine. Whatever. But what sickens me is just the results of what's going to happen out of that. Nothing good happens out of that. It doesn't bring about a good result, an end to anything. It just brings about more problems. And we've got to get past that as a nation. And unfortunately, it's going to take some people in the particular culture and the particular communities that people are in to start preaching the truth about life in general and how we should interact as a society. And it's not happening. I don't see it happening. It didn't happen under Barack Obama, that's for sure. He did not do anything to heal the divide. If anything, I think he made it worse. I was kind of shocked and amazed after about the first 6 months of Barack being in the White House at how the rhetoric didn't change. There wasn't any sense of we're going to move forward. We're going to heal our land. Nothing to that effect. It was just a continued rhetoric, and it's just continued name calling, all the stuff that happened during that time. That's the kind of thing that just drives me crazy because it's just they're in a position where they could actually make a change, make a difference, and they don't do it. So let's continue on with this. What this lady's saying, she's going okay. So it's all about white supremacy, blah blah blah. Let's go back over
study of this pattern of white backlash to black political process progress. So pursue Reconstruction, you get 1898. Pursue desegregation, you're met with massive resistance. Elect a black president, endure a white nationalist one who claims that his predecessor was not a citizen. I think it's very
that's always started by Hillary Clinton, by the way.
That white supremacy is not a blip. It's not a regression. It's a through line of our nation's history. And what Wilmington and the story of 1898 demonstrates is that white supremacists will continue to take what they think is theirs until the costs outweigh the spoils. You know, I think it's very important to keep in mind both the Department of Homeland Security
and the FBI have
designated white supremacy as the most persistent and lethal terrorist threat in America. So,
Really? The most lethal terrorist threat in America. This was Commissioner Ray, by the way, was the one who said this before Congress. The white supremacy is our biggest fear in this nation as far as terrorist groups are concerned. There's a lot of people sitting at this table. Now, they're all looking at teleprompters. They're all looking at things in front of them that they're speaking on. Several of them now, as she's making these statements, a lot of them are looking down at their papers. They don't want to look her in the eye. It's almost obvious that they're having a hard time believing what she's saying because they know it's not true. Just saying it doesn't make it true. So these people see everything through the lens and the prism of race. Now you've got the main race baiter, Al Sharpton here, who makes his living off of people, off of the divide in our nation. He's not interested in healing our nation. Have you ever heard him preach a sermon about healing the divide in our nation? These are the kind of people you could bow down before them on your knees, kiss their feet, ask for an apology. You know, you could apologize to them, ask for their forgiveness. They will spit on you and kick sand in your face and grovel. They will not accept your apology. They will not accept any kind of, what they want is reparations. You're going to have to pay me now for this. It's an absolute atrocity that people like Al Sharpton are out there doing the whole race-baiting thing, continuously bringing it up, calling everybody, anybody who votes for Donald Trump is a white supremacist, because Donald Trump's a white supremacist, so everybody's a white supremacist. If you're white, you're racist. That's just the way it is. It's getting old. The whole thing's getting very old. I'm tired of it. And I just, it's ridiculous. But this is the rhetoric. This is their whole identity now. And I think it's, unfortunately, it's ripped apart the country. It's continuing to rip apart the country. It's not doing anything to heal our nation. And unfortunately, we have a president right now who's not really the best communicator in the world when it comes to this kind of stuff. We need somebody more like a, what's the guy that was running for mayor of Los Angeles? I can't ever think of his name. Pratt, is it Pratt? I think, whatever his name is. Spencer Pratt, I think. Is that his name? I need somebody like that who can just kind of just come out and just say it like it is and really communicate articulately about things that are going on. I appreciate Donald Trump's ability to make deals and to be able to understand business and economies, and the people he's put into place now, some of the people we have in charge are absolute amazing, in my opinion. Now, some of them are there because of just notoriety reasons. Others are there doing incredible work. I think our economy is on the verge of really just breaking through. You know, in what should be a downturn year, I think we're only going to see a slump, and it's going to be a long term game. I think as far as what's been happening, I think we're going to see a 12-year period of almost no downturn. We might see a slowdown in the growth, but I think we're going to see growth now for the next 12 years. And that's my opinion. I'm just a, you know, I'm just a guy with a computer. And that's all I got to say about that. We'll be back. I think I just need to show's running a little bit long. I need to move on here for a little bit. I have a few other things to talk about, but I've got to take a shower and get out of here. So we got to just gonna move on. We'll be back in depth for this right after this.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me. According to me.
All right. So tomorrow we'll have a little bit more about the Technology Tuesday, Technical Tuesday. We'll be talking about a few things. I'll be coming to you from Columbia, Missouri, unless some things change. It'll be an early show tomorrow, looking at the schedule here. In the meantime, folks, just want to thank you for listening. Thank you for stopping by. Again, the podcast caller app is out there. Apparently, some people have been checking on it. I've been watching the stats on the podcast caller. Apparently, some people have actually visited that the podcastcaller.com, checking it out. If you've got a podcast or if you do anything in that respect, you're welcome to sign up for the trial program. And I think it's got a 2-week trial. I think the 2-week trial actually is extended right now. It's not going to end for a little while until we get some things straightened out with the other options, and you can start doing a paid. You can do the paid thing now, it will credit towards your account, and you'll be things will be added on to your membership even though you may not get all the benefits right away, but there'll be improvements. If you become a member, there'll be improvements right away pretty quickly here within the next 30 days. Yeah, feel free to sign up, do your thing. Anyway, you do try the free trial at least. You'll get everything in the free trial that you want. Paid subscription. However, the paid subscription will have some other things. If you're an early adopter, you'll get some extra bonus stuff too. That's the closest thing you're going to get to an advertisement for this particular podcast. Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you have a great week, great rest of your week, and we'll get a great weekend and a great rest of your summer here as we come to a close with this whole thing. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. See ya.